I don't know if anyone in the last few months, I think it's in the last couple or few months, has come across something, well, I suppose the word used is phenomenon, something that has found its way onto the internet, on YouTube, about a mysterious sound. Have you heard about this? A mysterious sound that's been recorded in various places around the world. Well, don't trouble yourself with it, but I just looked it up just for reference purposes, obviously. But basically, in short, there has, and you can imagine, you'll see in a minute how this has set the people who feel that they've got all the answers to the second coming of Christ all wrapped up. They have gone into overdrive. Oh, it's manna for them. It's manna for them to get people to write in and send in for all manner of products from them to feed them the deceptions that they peddle out. But nonetheless, there has been, there's not been given any explanation, there has been a strange groaning kind of trumpet sound heard in the air in various places. And these, unless this is an amazing hoax, this seems to be true, that this has been captured, people have been, and they seem to be genuinely surprised because you hear them talking, and they've all taken this videoed this and the audio of this sound as it took them by surprise in these various places around the world, in many languages across many continents, the same similar sound of this droning, echoing trumpet-like sound. And nobody can explain where it had been coming from. I'm amazed actually no one's heard about it. Well, I'm glad that I've told you something new today. I only found it out the other day. But nonetheless, you can imagine how some people have been reacting. And some people who, you know, amidst all the cursing and all the foul language that they use and all the blasphemy and oh my this and oh my that, oh, it's the sound of the apocalypse, they're shouting it out at the top of their voice. And they're obviously not very well taught. But then you see, when you go in a little bit further, you see those who've attached themselves to these things are those people who've got these websites about the second coming. And they've now got all the answers. They're going to point everyone to all the answers. And you'd be amazed at some of the things, some of the biblical prophecies, how they say, how they explain everything, how it's all being fulfilled, how all things are being fulfilled, and how some, this is one of the last things. Well, because, you see, this is a truth that the Lord Jesus tells us. He tells us, there shall be the trump of God. The trump of God shall be heard in all the earth. This is why there's been such excitement, such drama about it. The trump shall be heard in all the earth. All the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Something seems to have been missing. Because unless we've missed out, and it's all happened and we've missed the whole thing, something's missing. I believe the Lord Jesus has failed to appear. Unless he's come secretly, like some people love to teach, and we've missed out, and we've been left here below for a tribulation which they completely misinterpret scripture with. Somehow, this cannot be the trump of God. But nonetheless, it is a curious thing because no one's explained it. I'd quite like to know what it was. I looked up at the sky the other night, and I don't know if this is something that's come about in more recent centuries. The moon appearing differently. Have you heard of the Hunter's Moon? Well, I'd never heard of it before. See, I've been doing a lot of education this week, the last couple of weeks. Because I was, as sometimes I do, I was in the back room working late, and I went out into the kitchen, and all the lights were off. We've got skylight in our kitchen, and the upstairs flat across the way, it's not an uncommon thing for the lady there to be up late working as well at a computer. And they normally have their blinds open, so you can see the lights shining down. And then you've got the light shining down from the flat above us, and sometimes from the flat below the lady across the way. But as I went into the kitchen, lights were off, and it was so bright in the kitchen and in the garden. And then I looked across, because I could see from the skylight whether there's anyone at home, any lights on. The lights were all off. And there was this bright moon with a blueness around it. And it was dazzling, and it was brighter than normal. And it was shining right on the back of our garden. I didn't have a clue what it was. And of course, I haven't got a long lens camera. You wish you had at such a time. So I tried my best to take a photograph of it on my phone. But I think I couldn't get the blueness around this. And of course, I found out the next day what this Hunter's Moon was appearing on the 24th of the month. So I'm a stargazer now as well. But the serious thing is, there are people who will deceive you and they'll say, well, look, here's these signs. Here's these signs. We've got a greater knowledge of these signs, and we can teach you, we can tell you about our great knowledge that God has given us of these things. But we live in a day and an age which in many ways has been before for centuries. Since long before the Saviour came, and has been more and more since he came and finished his work of redemption and returned to glory, unto that time when he shall come again and bring in, heralding the end of all things. We do live in a time where it seems more and more, to us at least, that error, deception, lies abounds all around us. Even just this last Friday, I heard briefly on the radio of a well-known singer who's turned from Catholicism. Well, that's just error in itself anyway, but nonetheless, as she understood it, she says her view was, to any theologian, she considers herself a theologian, so I presume she's read the Bible, to any theologian, this will be the natural progression. And she's converted to a religion that came forth after Christ. You may have read of this. But the title of the message today is this: Lies, Lies, and Yet More Lies. In this world in which we live, you do well to find more truth than lie. Deception on all fronts, not just in the religious persuasion in the religious world, but in life in general. The way of the world is deception. From the highest presidential palace to the smallest home, the way of the world is lies and lying. Half-truths, if there's any truth. Lies, lies, and more lies. We turn back to our reading that we've been looking at in 1 Peter chapter 4. And as the apostle makes this statement that we do well to take heed of, in verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. But the end of all things is at hand. And just for brevity's sake, that indeed people see that the Apostle Peter is in total agreement with the Apostle Paul also. He says in Philippians 4, as you see the day approaching, he says the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. The Lord is coming soon. They are in total agreement. See, this word here, unlike the supposed holy books of this world, does not contradict itself in any way. People say it does. Those are people who don't know God. They don't know the book. This word never contradicts itself. Anyone who proclaims this word will not proclaim in the teaching that they bring forth. They will not, unless it be a slip of the tongue, they will not preach that which is against what is elsewhere written in this book. For this book is one book. But we live in a world of lies. We live in a world of deception and deceit. And why is that? Do you know why that is? Well, we'll see in a moment. So how do you know the end that the apostle speaks of here, that is at hand? How is anyone to know that the end has actually come? You might think it's a bit of a basic question. Well, sometimes people need to be taken to basic things, because if you see the way people go after people proclaiming so many things, they don't question for one moment from the Word of God and see the simplicity of what the Word says. How do you know that the end has actually come? Well, this is simple. When the Lord Jesus has returned, when he's descended from heaven with a shout. We're not going to go into these things in a big way. That's not for today. But you don't know. This is what you don't know. You don't know the end has come. And this, once again, may sound basic, but bear with me. You do not know that the end has come until it actually comes to pass. Now that sounds simple. It is simple. But that's not what you hear people talking about, is it? But think carefully about my words. You don't know until it actually comes to pass that the end has come. So all those people who are out, might be out in the street telling you, the end is coming right now. They don't know. Do you see what I'm saying? They don't know. The Lord Jesus refers to it like this. Did you see me do that? I did it a bit deliberately. But it's more subtle than my deliberate winking of my eye just now. He says in a twinkling of an eye. Have you ever tried to see a twinkling of an eye? Yet there are signs to look for, nonetheless. There are signs to look for. And I want to point you today to one particular sign that the end of all things is at hand. And this is one that perhaps gets overlooked in all the excitement, in all the drama, in the way everyone loves to be entertained by the things of end times theology. You don't hear much spoken of about this. And yet, this is the most important, I believe. Do you know what it is? Well, it's deception. What is perhaps the most common sign you hear people talking about when they say, it's the end times. They talk about, is this not right? They talk about wars and rumours of wars. They talk about earthquakes and natural disasters in various places. They talk about pestilences. Signs in the sky. You don't hear very often, this issue about the great deception. False teaching, a falling away from God's truth. That's the greatest sign of the end coming. Now, my aim today is not to give a detailed description of all of this. There's not a book to be signed at the end of this message this morning that says, I've got all the answers. But it is an overview of what Jesus told us must come to pass before he returns. What he taught us plainly in his word when he was here on this earth, and what he revealed to his apostles. And it is this, simply this. It is lies. He tells us this sign we look for is to look for lies abounding. Lies shall be advanced and set forth more and more, claiming to come from the God of truth, who cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Just read Hebrews 6. Impossible for him to lie. I mean, this isn't the only reason, but the Jehovah's Witnesses are a bunch of fraudsters. They have no grounding in any truth of the gospel. But here's just one way you can just knock them bandy when they come to your door. Just question them and ask them, do you believe in lies? And they'll say, of course I don't. And then challenge them and say, well, what about the leaders of your religion for decades have continually told us the date of the return of Christ? And they've kept changing the date because they don't know it. They're liars. But I want you to see here from what the apostle is telling us. He says the end of all things is at hand. At the very doors, it says elsewhere in the New Testament. At the very doors. Now that doesn't mean that we know how close is. But we know we're to be ready always. At the very doors. If I can use this expression, we're to have our spiritual coat on already, ready to go. It's amazing, isn't it? When you have these fire drills at work, everyone breaks all the rules, don't they? Don't they? Everyone breaks all the rules. Oh, it's too cold out there. I'll tell you what, if it was that hot in there, if it was a real fire, they wouldn't be reaching for their scarf, hat and coat, would they? They'd get out that fire exit as quickly as possible. But every fire drill where everyone doesn't really know it's a fire, especially the surprise ones, everyone goes around looking for their coat, don't they? And their handbag and everything else, and their cigarettes. The return of Christ is going to be sudden. We're to be ready always. Firstly, see, lies, and then more lies. Here's the reason why deception takes hold in the world. Do you know the reason? There's one simple reason. One simple reason. Because it's common to each one of us. It's what we are. We're not programmed in our human fallen nature to take heed and listen to truth. By nature, we lap up lies. That's what we are. When do you hear that in so-called end times preaching? Now, from the time that Adam was in the Garden of Eden, deception has been the tactic. The tactic. And I believe there's only one tactic of the devil. It takes manifold forms. But there's only one tactic. There's only one thing. There's only one thing the devil is interested in. Lies. The Lord Jesus says he's the father of lies. And here's something that people don't want to hear. That outside of Christ, each one born into the world are children of their father, the devil. Guess who said that? It wasn't John the Baptist, that fiery preacher. It wasn't George Whitefield who preached to thousands in the open air. It wasn't Martin Luther. It was the man who they said of, no man spoke like this man. It was the Son of God. It was the Lord Jesus. When did you last hear that quoted? Everyone who rejects the truth of the gospel, the Lord Jesus says to them, I'm not shocked by this. You're children of your father, the devil. And he's the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. And so he has one tactic. And it served him, if I can use this term, it served him well, always. Deception. He's not changed. And of course, this week, it's perhaps one of the most foolish deceptions that people are taken in with. This Halloween. Oh, it's only harmless fun. Only it's harmless fun. Okay, so 100 kids go around trick-or-treating. Tell me, if one of those kids grows up wanting to know, curious to know more and more and more of the occult, they go onto the Ouija board. They go on to the next thing, the next level, and the next level, and the next level. And then they are in full-blown Satan worship. And people laugh and they say, well, that doesn't happen, does it not? There's a witch's coven that meets on Wimbledon Common. That's not my imagination, that's fact. But the devil's done that from the beginning. Just ask Eve. He softens the blow. He makes it sound good. Each and every one born into this world is affected by this deception, you see. We are ripe ground for it. We're fertile ground for it. Ever since man fell in the garden, this spiritual deadness and blindness of total depravity abounds. Each and every one born of a woman has entered this world as being a deceiver and being deceived. I mean, people throw their hands in the air and say, well, why are the kids going after this? Why are they going after that? Why are they going in the wrong crowd? Because it's natural. And we all do it by nature. We all have to be reined in to do the right thing. Why are people so stupid? Because we're blinded by nature. The eternal word of God accurately, clearly, and truthfully. Accurately, clearly, and truthfully. Those words, adjectives. See, I'm no good with the English language. They're adjectives, aren't they? I think they are. Or verbs. Verbs are adjectives anyway. You know what I mean. But I know what I mean, though. When do you see those words clearly? See those terms used together. Not very often. Accurately, clearly, and truthfully. The word of God speaks in such ways and proclaims your nature in the flesh to leave us in no doubt. To leave us in no doubt. My nature too. The wicked come forth from the womb speaking lies. The heart is deceitful above all things. All things. Who can know it? The Lord only. The Lord only who tries the hearts. Not only that, the very bias of human nature is to seek out, listen to, and heed the lying words that are not those of God. Because the fool has said in his heart, no to God. And by the way, who is that? That's everyone. God said he looked on the sons of men. See if there's anyone who does what's right, who seeks after God. He says there's not one. He can't find but one. And if in any way we can say, well, the fleshly man, there are some who listen to, seek God's word by nature, It is only in twisting its meaning to make it say what we desire it to say and would have it to say to us. That's the only time, by nature, man seeks after this book and uses it. By nature. The Son of God, the Son of God has said that the heart of man shall only, no exception, it shall only be more sinful and opposed to the things of God. It's just going to get worse. This condition of the human heart, this deceitfulness of the human heart, cannot be treated. The fleshly heart cannot be treated. It cannot be reformed. It will not be reformed. It's not for turning. He says in Matthew 24, verse 12, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." He's saying this in the context of signs to look for when he shall come again. And so into this ground, into this fertile ground, the seed of deception is sown. Now you see the foundation we've laid here. Now you see how we shouldn't be surprised by deception taking hold. For secondly, as we have seen, the fertile ground of the human heart is to take heed to and believe lies. That's what we do now. That's our nature now. That's just what we are now. In Adam, we were all made sinners. And sin is the transgression of God's law. We don't want God's law. We'll throw that away. We don't want truth. That's not for us. We've got our own truth. Isn't that what the devil said to Eve in the garden? You should be wise. You should be wise. You're going to know so much. Don't we know so much now? Everyone knows so much more. Try and talk to people on the doorsteps. Try and talk to people in your staff room about spiritual things. I know, that's too simple for me. I've got a far deeper understanding of things. People are so clever, aren't they? To believe lies, the words of man, rather than God Almighty himself. That's what the ground is fertile for. For observe what the Lord Jesus said would precede his return. He says again in Matthew 24, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name." And note, the Son of God, God Almighty, is not taken by surprise by this. Oh no, look what's happening. As some would somehow proclaim it. Oh look, what's happening? It's all getting ruined. No, he's in control. The sovereign ruler is in control here. And he says elsewhere, these things must be. They must be. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Coming in the name of God Almighty and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Saying, I'm the anointed one. That's what Christ means. Saying, I'm the Messiah. Saying, I'm the one who was ever promised. The final one to come. Are there not many of these who have come? Who have said, well, yeah, well, we'll take Christ. We believe in Jesus. They change the name of Jesus, a lot of them. And they give him a different title. And they give him a different status, high status, but not higher than them. They say that they are the Christ. They're the one that was to be looked for. They're the one who Moses prophesied of. They're even the one that Christ prophesied of. When actually the Lord Jesus was talking of the Spirit coming, who would reveal all the things that he has taught. So don't be surprised. He said this must be so. And it is so that various leaders of new religions claiming to be sent as final messengers from God have indeed already deceived, deluded many people. And it continues on and on and on. Some of these are big religions, some of these are smaller cults, but they have come, many of them, and they continue to come. Multitudes following the teachings of self-appointed messengers of God, messengers from God. Anyone can set themselves up. Any tin pot man can set himself up, open up a building and say, I'm speaking from God. Anyone could do it. They are doing it today. And those who are following such teachings are blinded from the teachings, blinded from the truth, blinded from the spiritual light of the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. Yet, do not despair. There are some unto whom the light of the glory of God, even amongst those who have been blinded, who have been deluded, who have been sorely led astray, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ even now shines forth in the gospel and will do. Shall shine in their hearts, while others God gives, as he says, over to a reprobate mind. He gives them over to what they want. He leaves them over to what they want. They don't want truth, so he leaves them over to a reprobate mind, rejecting truth because they don't want truth, and so he gives them over to it. God gives people what they want sometimes. In fact, he gives people what they want all the time. In that context, his words saying that because such receive not the love of the truth of the gospel, he says in 2 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. God sends the strong delusion. It's been said well by our brother in Kentucky. The devil is God's devil. God is sovereign. God rules. He can't act unless he has permission. All for God's glory. All for God's praise. You hear people talk about the devil, and then once again, it's like he's got this almighty power almost. Oh no, the devil. Yeah, the devil does get in. The devil is sly, he is deceptive. But the Lord overrules all things. And he brings all things to pass. He doesn't just overrule, as I've heard recently, someone talking about sovereignty. Oh, well, I'll explain to you sovereignty. That means that God overrules all things. That's not sovereignty. Well, not as I understand it in this book. Sovereignty means that God rules all things and brings everything to pass. All things working together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Yes, he indeed brings about his own purpose in all things. Understand it? No, you don't. But believe it, you must. Otherwise, you have nothing, nothing to believe. And so he says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. God is not mocked. God is not mocked. Thirdly, is this something, this delusion, is this something that we should be looking to, you know, as those gazers of end times, saying, well, we've got to cross it off our list, and we're looking, when shall we see this? When shall we look for this? Is this something which shall come to pass in the future only? But according to the word of God, this great deception has been at work, especially seeking to destroy the church from within, not only the false religions from without, but especially seeking to destroy the church from within, from the days of the apostles themselves, even to the present time. And so in that sense, we do not look to the future for this, because these things are. 1 John 4, 2 and 3, the apostle says, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ, now this can just be passed over in an instant, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So everyone who believes that Jesus was born of a virgin and he existed here below and that he died on the cross and rose again, well, that simplistic teaching, they're of the truth. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying that Jesus Christ that was foretold in this book, the Jesus Christ who we are told what he would do, everything that he said he would do, this one has come in the flesh, and in the flesh has performed all that was promised of him. That's another story. And every spirit that confesseth not that this Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, not the other Jesus Christs who need something from you, is not of God. Not just in some little bit of error. Do you notice the strong words of the apostle here? Not just in some need of correction. It's totally not of God, that teaching. These are severe words, somber words. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You see, the spirit of Antichrist is far more dangerous within the professed church, because you don't suspect it. As the Apostle John said elsewhere, they came out from among us. They became manifest. We realized their false teaching after a time, after great damage was caused. They came out from among us for this reason. They weren't of us. But we didn't know straight away. So beware. Yes, the spirit of falsehood, which denies the completed, perfect work of redemption and the fulfillment of the law. Listen, the spirit which denies any of these, the completed work of redemption, the fulfillment of the whole law and all prophecy, is at work in the world. It's alive and well. It's thriving. In the midst of the church. And today we surely live in the days warned of by the Apostle Paul, who said in 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 2, where he instructs Timothy and all called to the work of proclaiming the gospel of God's sovereign grace. He warns I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how serious it is. I charge thee before God. As he would say in other situations, before God and I lie not. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, whose return is at hand, at the very doors, at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what he charges him. Preach the word. Preach this unchanging gospel. Preach this only one true gospel. Be instant, in season and out of season. Meaning there's no wrong time and right time. It's always the right time. It's always the season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, lift up with all long suffering, with all patience and doctrine. You preach the doctrine of the book, not the teaching of man. And here is why he warns this. Here is why it is so important to proclaim the truth of God's word as we see the end approaching. This is what he says in the following verses, in verse 3 and 4. For the time will come, it's come. And if it hasn't come to its fullness, maybe, but it's certainly here. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And if you don't believe that, ask yourself, why aren't they here this morning then? Why aren't the professed believers here this morning? And rather finding them a better place to go for them, which is a place which tells them things which entertain them. And all manner of things put on for them, rather than heeding sound doctrine. This is the reason. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers. It's been well said about elections. I don't get involved in politics anymore. But someone said to me a few years ago, a country gets the government they deserve. I believe that's true, actually. Because you see, people vote selfishly. And then they get the government they deserve. But even more seriously here, these people who don't want truth, they will always seek after people to themselves. They can't blame those false teachers in this context here. They want it. They want the false teaching. They heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Where can I find something that tells me something different? I've heard the truth, but I'm going to go somewhere else. Well, how's the Bible going to say something different? Because they don't want the truth. And so they find places where their itching ears will be satisfied. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's the reason, you see. They don't want it. And shall be turned unto fables. I love the language of the apostle here. The gospel of the free offer. The gospel of free will. The gospel of works. The gospel of ritual. The gospel of tradition. It's fairy stories. And it's probably fairy stories you wouldn't even tell your kids. Stupidity. Yet more and more, as the end of all things is at hand, shall foolish people turn aside unto made-up fable-like false gospels. You may wonder, why do people go after such men who proclaim that which pretends to be the gospel of Christ? Even giving over their money, signing up with their credit cards, to line the pockets of these charlatans. In the extreme cases that we see on the satellite TV. Why? Why indeed? Why indeed? Because unless God comes, as we saw laying our foundation earlier, unless God comes and reveals his Son to these people by his grace, through the Spirit of God, making such people alive, giving them spiritual life to see the truth. All shall seek after what they want to hear. That was you, believer, before you were a believer. Before God got hold of you. And though these many false prophets and false Christs have continued to emerge, and I like the word I've used there, emerge. I'm not being pompous. I've just seen the word is good that I was led to use there. Emerge. Because they already existed. In the mind of God, God knew who these people were. They were appointed already. They were appointed to destruction, most of these. Those who repent not, they have been appointed unto us. Just read what Jude says. And they emerge at different times. They've emerged down the centuries. As the end draws nearer, we are warned in the word of God, there will continue on to be a great deception. Continued right up until the Saviour appears. See what 2 Thessalonians 2 tells us. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Do you see how this is so important? There have been wars down the centuries long before Christ came. There have been natural disasters long before Christ came. But he's talking about a falling away from the truth of the gospel here. And this is most serious. And he calls it the falling away. Not just a falling away. The falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now that's for another time to look at what this son of perdition means. Because we can't look at that in the context of this message. But has not most of Christianity, in all honesty, has not most of professed Christianity fallen away from the truth and continues to? I defy anyone to say it hasn't. But here is the comfort. Here is the comfort to the people of God, for the true people of God, his chosen, elect, redeemed ones, knowing we're redeemed by the precious blood of the Saviour at the cross. We are safe and secure and complete in him. If you really belong to Christ, you cannot be ultimately deceived. And I find that oh so comforting. Because I know my own heart, my fleshly heart. And you know yours, don't you? It's easily deceived, isn't it? But he's given us a new heart. He's given us a new heart. A heart not of stone, but a heart of flesh. He's given us a heart that receives the things of Christ, a new nature. Aren't you pleased about that? The Saviour declares how his people shall be protected from the lies that abound. They shall be protected from the lies that abound. They cannot be ultimately deceived. As we quoted earlier on, they ultimately, and I say ultimately deliberately, because There are times when we can fall short, sometimes when we can be foolish because we're not looking on the Lord. But nonetheless, we'll never fall away because we've got a master shepherd and we know his voice. And we don't know the voice of strangers. They just sound strange. Yes, the people of God should be wise, should look, should take heed, as he's told us to. But nonetheless, we're not to fear if we know the Lord and we're of the truth. He says in verse 24 of Matthew 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive." Oh, praise God. Praise God that he's put these words here. Praise God that he said it this way. We should despair, perhaps, as believers. When we look at professed believers, we thought were believers, and they're going after lies. Look what he says here. To deceive, if possible. What a wonderful statement. If possible. If it were possible. It's saying, yes, this is a strong deception, a strong deluding. If it were possible, even the elect. Not so, though. Not so. It's not possible. It's not possible. There are many deceivers gone out into the world, and many shall be taken in. So many are taken in. But not so those who have the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God. For there shall arise false Christs. There shall arise, and they shall continue to arise. But we have no fear, because if we're of the truth always sets us free. Though for a season, if God's people be foolish, as I said, you can come under its influence, but never, never drawn away by it. Because God will not let his people go. So take heed of these words in 2 Timothy 3. For we should beware that we do not injure ourselves with foolishness of being drawn away for a season, because we will end up being drawn back again. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood, he gives this illustration that and this truth of Timothy's experience. From childhood, he was taught the scriptures. From childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Here's our solid foundation that keeps us from this falsehood. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And what's it going to do? What's it going to do to each child of God as we lean on this word, as we trust this word? This is going to keep us from the harm. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we go about our journey in this life, and there's many things, many snares being thrown in the way. You just need to read the Pilgrim's Progress and you see the deceptions that come constantly. They're thrown at us constantly, like hand grenades. We've got a backpack. It's the Word of God. We've got the equipment. We've got the weapons of warfare, the word of God. And we shall not be shaken. Can you say that this morning? Can you say that indeed, that you are of the truth? Can you say that indeed you have not been carried away with the deception? When the Lord Jesus comes, as he surely does come, it's at hand. Will he find you believing the truth? Believe on him now. Believe on the truth that was once delivered. Believe on this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on this Saviour who is the truth. Believe on Christ and him crucified and risen again. Call on him now. Call on him now and be saved. Amen.